One thing I want to look at, this very, very important command in God's Word, the Bible, which all of God's command is important. There's no commandment no less or greater than the other. The whole Bible is God's Word. They're God's precepts, God's commandments to us. But especially this one, I was thinking about this particular command, and it's a very familiar one in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, God gives us a very, very important command in the Bible that we read in verse 18 of Matthew 28. And Jesus came and speak unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is a very important command, especially in our day when we're so very close to the end of the world. And we know that according to the Bible that God is still saving a great multitude of people in our day. And we don't know who they are, but we know that God is saving His elect from all over. All nations, different races, and you name it, God is still on the throne. And He's still saving a great number of people. And it is a great privilege to be a part of this great command. If you're a child of God, that God has commanded us to lay our life down. And for our fellow men. And that is our priority if you're a child of God, that you want to obey this commandment and go into the world with the gospel. You know, God has made all the provisions. He's given us God's Word. He's opened the doors. He's given us the radio waves. He's given us print media. And we had to go with the gospel into the world. But, you know, as we go with the gospel, it is a great responsibility. It is a great responsibility to make sure that the gospel that we're sharing with our fellow man is true, is faithful to God's Word. So we have to make sure that we're studying the Bible, that we know what we're sharing in the gospel, because there are many false gospels out there who claim that they're sharing the true gospel also. And we know that God will never use a false gospel to save someone. You may see them flourishing in our day, but God is not blessing that because it's a false gospel. But let us look at Jeremiah 23. God gives us warning there in Jeremiah 23. We're going to start reading in verse 28. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 28, and here God is telling us, He is speaking about false prophets. False prophets. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word. So we know, we claim that we have the word of God in our hand. We that hath God's word, let him speak my word faithfully. We're declaring the gospel. Make sure that what we're declaring, we're saying, thus saith the Lord. So we have to study. We have to do our homework. If you're handing out a tract, make sure you read it. And that tract is faithful to God, that is saying what God is saying. And it's not a false gospel. You see, here it says, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire? God is the judge. God, in parts of the Bible, God tells us He's a consuming fire. You see, saith the Lord, like as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet that saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. So if you're not bringing the true gospel, you're stealing God's word. You're a thief. So we have to make sure that the gospel we're bringing is faithful. Here, same thing He tells in verse 21. We're declaring, we're speaking God's word. We have to do it faithfully. We shouldn't add or take away. If you're bringing a gospel of grace, make sure it's based on grace and not works. You know, a lot of people marry grace and works together. You've changed the grace of God into a works gospel. So we have to make sure that we're being faithful. And if we're, as I said, if you're bringing a false gospel, you're a thief. You're stealing God's word. Let's look. Hold our hand in Jeremiah 23 and go over to John 10. God picks it up, this idea of stealing God's word in John 10. Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 1. Here God tells us, "Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not," that word "not" there is very important, "he that entereth not by the door," and we know according to the Bible that Christ is the door. He's the way. Now, there's others out there who are trying to enter into the kingdom of heaven through some other means, with another gospel. Because if they're bringing another gospel, it's another way. And that will, we can never enter into the kingdom of heaven with a false gospel. It's another way, you see. "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way." See, they're trying to enter into the kingdom through another way. You see, the same is a thief and a robber. See how he ties into Jeremiah 23? God calls this person who has another gospel as a thief and a robber. And he says, "But he that entereth in by the door," because Christ is the door, he's the way, "is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth." I believe the porter here is Christ himself. "And the sheep, which are us," his elect, "hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name." See, when God saves us, we're saved individually. It's an individual thing. It doesn't save as a group. You know, maybe two people in that family could be saved, and the others are not. Maybe the husband is saved, and the wife is not saved. Salvation is an individual thing with God. It says here, "He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." See, when we hear truth, God's people, we're going to know it. Because God has opened our spiritual eyes to truth. And in verse 5 he says, "And a stranger will they not follow." Who's that stranger? That person who's coming with a false gospel. They are a stranger. They are a stranger because they have another gospel. They use, I don't know if you've been in my experience where I hear people, you try to tell somebody, you say, "By grace." Somebody in a false gospel, they said, "Yes, but you have to accept it," or "You have to do this," or "You have to do that." They're a stranger. From the moment we hear that, the true believers, we know it's another gospel. And it goes on in verse 5, "But we'll flee from him." We won't have nothing to do with that false gospel, "for they know not the voice of strangers." When we become a child of God, you know, we become very sensitive to truth. Very sensitive. Because our spiritual eyes and ears are open, you see, to the true gospel. And we won't follow that. Immediately you're going to know that gospel is another gospel, and we won't follow that. Nope, we're going to turn. We won't even give it a second thought because we know it's another gospel. But back in Jeremiah 23, we read on in verse 31, God tells us, "Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith." Remember, as God give us the command to go out in the world with the gospel, make sure we're being faithful. And to say, "Thus said the Lord," when he didn't say, it's terrible because you're lying. You see, you're saying God says something when he didn't say it. So that's why that as we obey this command to go out in the world with the gospel, make sure that we're being faithful. But because when we're saying, "Thus said the Lord," when we're handing out that tract, we're giving that tract a stamp of approval that we agree with it, what's inside this tract. So we have to make sure whoever wrote that tract is being faithful. We've got to check that tract out by the Bible. Because God's word is our authority, you see. And yeah, the track can be corrected, but you make sure that he's saying what thus said what God says. And it says, verse 32, "Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams of the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies." So it's another gospel, it's a lie. This person is speaking lies because then God said it when he didn't. "And by their likeness, yet I sent them not." You see, "I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord." So if somebody's bringing a false gospel, he's not profiting the people because it's not bringing salvation. Because God will never use a false gospel. It is another gospel. So as we obey the command in Matthew 28 to go in the world with the gospel, we have to make sure that we're being faithful carriers or teachers of the Bible. It's very important because, as you said, if we're bringing another gospel, we're being a thief and a robber. And that will never save anyone. Because when you're saying, "Thus saith the Lord," it's serious stuff. You see, it's very, very important. It's best if you don't understand something, I don't know, I have to do my homework or whatever the case is. You just don't know. Then just answer the question, and it's not correct. It's not what God says. Let's look at another verse in Galatians. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 1. Here, the Apostle Paul, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is telling us that the gospel that he was bringing is not from his own mind. It's from God. You see, you know, when as we read the Bible, it's God speaking, though. But here we could see a little bit of it. In verse, let's look at verse 6 in Galatians chapter 1. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from me, from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Another gospel is a false gospel. It's not truth from the Bible. You see, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We pervert the gospel of Christ by bringing another gospel. Or, as I said earlier, grace over works. Or you have to do something. Or, you know, in this big crusade to see people coming down the aisle, and today is your day, and you hear them on the televangelist saying all these things. And I was told many years ago, you know, I didn't understand the gospel, and walked up front, and the pastor looked at me and says, "Today, you're saved." And that bothered me. You know, how did he know that? You know, these pastors are pronouncing people that today they're saved, and you have the hour of decision, you know, that you have to do this, or you have to, you know, do all these things. And no, you can't save yourself. You can't decide when God should save you. You can't do anything. The Bible tells us that we're spiritually dead. We're under the wrath of God, you know. And these verses that God tells us, and he paints a very ugly picture of us, you know. Read Romans 3, as we're very familiar. We're dead corpse, you know. There's none doeth good. So, and God goes and tells us that salvation is of the Lord. He has to draw me. He has to create a new heart within me. He has to do all the work of saving me. And yet, there are many during the church who are saying, "You have to do this." They don't understand what salvation is. It's another gospel. It's another God. They're perverting the gospel. So we have to make sure that as we obey the command, that we are not perverting the gospel of Christ. You see. And verse 8 says, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel." So God is acknowledging that there is another gospel out there, the false gospel, "unto you then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Because if we're bringing another gospel, if we're not being faithful to the Bible, we are still under the curse of God. Let him be accursed. So it's very important that we are being faithful to God's word. As we said before, so say I now again. "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. And you know, one of the hallmarks of another gospel is what? It caters to man. It caters to the flesh. You know, it gives me some control over when I decide to become saved. That's what the false gospel does, you know. It caters to man. You know, it caters to, you see, you know the false gospel. I'm probably not putting the right word there, but it satisfies the flesh. There's a gospel out there. All you have to do is come to repentance once a week and all is well. You see, it caters to me. It man loves that. You know, that he all he has to do, you know, he bring what man does, he bring God down to his level, you see. And that's what mankind loves. You know, the false gospel makes you feel good. You know, it gets you all worked up. You see the pastors, it gets you worked up, you know, and you have control over it. But when you share with them the true gospel, that no, God has to save you, mankind now has become offended. You mean to tell me that I just have to beg like a beggar before God for salvation? Yeah, that, you know, I have to wait upon Christ is what the Bible says. We have to wait. We have to quietly wait upon God to act. And by nature, we don't like that. And again, in that a little bit later, that the true gospel is offense to mankind as we go. And then especially in our day when we're saying that we're only a few months away from the end of the world. Many are offended by it. You know, when they hide behind this verse, no one can know the day or the hour. It's been my experience as I share it with people, they all this verse. I said, no, there's a lot more to that. No, they don't want to hear it. Who are you to know this? And they're greatly offended. And many whom you thought should know better are offended. They're offended. They're offended that you're declaring that we're only a few months away from the end of the world. And mankind don't like that because, you know why? He have all his dreams here. His aspirations, his dreams, his life is here. You mean to tell me he's going to cut short in a few months? Many people don't like that. And how sad that is. But he will say, oh Lord, I love you. Come, oh Lord Jesus, come. But when you're getting into the timing of the end, he's offended. He's offended. He's offended. And there are many who, as you, they know this information, they're ashamed of it. They don't want to speak about it. They, it's a part of the gospel, isn't it? It's part of the gospel. After you warn mankind that there's judgment day is almost here. What good is it if you know this information, you're not sharing it? It's our command from God in Matthew 28 to go in the world with the gospel. And you're gonna go with the warning of judgment day, aren't you? Here, you know, we got to go with sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. You know, we have to tell the people the truth of what the Bible says and don't draw back. Yeah, you're going to be laughed at. You're going to be looked like you're an idiot. You know, how come you know it and the rest of the world don't know it? But I've seen times where I share it with people, and boy, I tell you, you better run for cover. They get you and they laugh at you. You can put up with a little bit of ridicule. The true gospel is par for the course. Whether you're speaking about the grace of God or judgment or whatever, you're going to be hassled. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be treated as in your own family, maybe. In your own family, they have one hand nothing to do with you. They think you're crazy. You lost your mind, or they just totally just block you out. They just, if you're going to talk about this around here, just don't come around, or things like that. So it's par for the course when you're bringing the gospel. You know, it's, mankind is going to react that way when you're sharing the true gospel, but you shouldn't be deterred by that. You know, because it's expected. If you were sharing another gospel, a false gospel, everybody would love you. You know, they would love you. You tell them that Jesus loves everybody. You know, oh, he loves me too? Wow. You know, and that's what man wants to hear. He wants to hear that type of gospel. But the Bible doesn't teach that God loves everybody. The the percentage of people that is truly saved is very small. Very small. So God tells us in other parts of the Bible that we're sent out among sheep, among wolves. You know, mankind is not going to welcome you with open arms because you're coming with some terrible news. And man, he doesn't want to be reminded of it. He doesn't want to hear it. And we're coming with some terrible news that judgment day is almost here. But we have to declare it because it's part of that command. I go in the world with the gospel, and we're going to tell the world that he's in trouble with God and judgment day is almost here. Look at that example, which Christ is our perfect example. If you turn over to Luke, the book of Luke, and we're going to look at chapter 2, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Christ is our perfect example. And as he brought the gospel, was he well received? Now, if you're a child of God, God tells us in the Bible what to expect as we're declaring the gospel faithfully. You know, as you read through the gospels, you see the Jews, scribes and the Pharisees, what Christ went through. They were chasing him all over the place trying to kill him. Should we expect any different? Any different? No. Well, in our land, we don't have to worry about somebody killing us. But you're going to be hassled. You're going to have doors slammed. You go door to door, you're going to get the door slammed in your face. You're going to be laughed at. You remember before God brought judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah when Lot went to his sons-in-law and he told them that this place was going to be destroyed? It was one of the most ridiculous ideas. And what did his sons-in-law do? They mocked. They laughed at him. But he was right. He was right. God did destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim. And they was destroyed. When you think about it, Noah's day. Come on, people are people. Did it change much back then? No. It was one of the most ridiculous ideas that this flood was coming. And you mean to tell me, I don't know the population back then, but it probably was several hundred thousand people or more, I don't know. And for how many years? Maybe there wasn't any water around to float this big ship, where the Bible says 450 feet long, 3 stories high. And over the years as he built it, all the people, the word got around, you know. The word got around to the all over. And when it was the most ridiculous idea. But yet, he was right. And same thing in our day. We're declaring that we're a few months away, and who's listening? Who cares? The world is still going on. It's still functioning. What is man's concern today? The economic thing. You know, or this or that. He's bogged down in it. You know, when people's pocketbooks are hurting, you know, what they want to hear? They want to hear the gospel? Of course not. But you see, we shouldn't be deterred by that. If you're a child of God, you shouldn't be distracted by anything. We have to be steadfast. We have to focus on heavenly things and spiritual things, not what's going on around us, because there's something way, way infinitely more important than what's going on in our world today. Judgment Day is almost here, you see. But here Christ, as he brought the gospel in Luke chapter 2, he started reading Here we see Christ, he was born. Let's read in verse 7. He's speaking about the birth of Christ. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Because, you know, Christ is the gospel. The good news is the gospel, and that's what we desperately need to hear. See, Christ came into the world. He is the gospel, to bring the gospel, and to be the gospel, you see. And he says in verse 11, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is the good news. You know, we are declaring to the world the good news that man now can have a right relationship with Christ. He's made it possible now for us to come from under his condemnation, because he's the only one who could do it. So this is the good news we're bringing to the world. Christ is the gospel, and he came into the world with it to share with mankind that there is a way of escape from hell itself. And it goes on in verse 13, "And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So here Christ came into the world to be the gospel, and he came to brought the gospel. But let's look at, turn over to Luke chapter 4. We'll look at Christ a little bit. And one of the first things after he was baptized by John the Baptist in Luke chapter 4, one of the things, the first thing that happened to Christ was he was tested. He was tested. In Luke 4:1, he says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he didn't eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward had hunger." So we see here he was tested. And the first thing after he was baptized, he was tested. Let's move on a little bit further. Let's go over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm getting to it. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Here, speaking about Christ again. Let's read verse 10 and 11. Remember, Christ is our example. As we see, he came into the world with the good news, the gospel. And we're going to see, was he well received? Here we read in verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him." Christ is the creator. God, he made the world, and the world knew him not. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." You see, he wasn't well received into his own. Came out of the nation of Israel, the Jews. He was a Jewish carpenter. And you see, he wasn't. And there's other verses to that, but I'm just building a little background here. As he started, came into the world, he wasn't well received. And so as we go out into the world, you know, mankind is not going to welcome us with open arms. He won't. I know many of you have handout tracts. Some people take it, and some people turn around and curse at you. Mankind don't want to hear it. He doesn't want to be reminded of it, because the Word of God judges us. You know, it judges us. And from the moment that you see, or does God love you, or did God die for you, he gets very offensive. He doesn't feel, but you're handing something else out, he'll take it. Just as long as it had nothing to do with God, he will take it. But from the moment they see the title of God, and no matter where you go in the world, there are those who will curse you, they'll jostle you, they'll cause trouble, because they don't want to hear the gospel. Let's look at another verse here in John chapter 5. Turn over to the Gospel of John chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse 15. John chapter 5, verse 15. I'll pick up the context in verse 15. "And the man departed and told," remember the impotent man? God healed the impotent man. And he told him to take up his bed and walk. But let's pick it up in verse 15. "And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus." See, he's persecuted. "And sought to slay him." Remember, he came unto his own. And this is what they're trying to do. He's sharing the gospel. He's doing all these wonderful things. And yet, you see their mindset. They were trying to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Let's read on a little bit further. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They were right. They were right in making that statement. Christ is God. But you see what they were trying to do. As see, Christ was bringing the gospel, they were seeking to kill him. And we shouldn't expect any less, because we are carriers of the gospel. We're servants of Christ. And as we bring the true gospel, people, we're going to be hassled or mocked or laughed at, and maybe in some countries, and be killed for the sake of the gospel. So you see, turn over to another account in John 15. You see the same idea there. And as you read through the Gospels, you could see the same thing. In John chapter 15, verse 18 to 25, we're going to break right into the middle of that chapter. God is going to speak about here, the world is going to hate us. It's going to hate us. Here in verse 15, we read, 18, we read, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." So actually, the hate is not directed towards you, really. It's God. Mankind is hating when they totally reject the gospel. So we shouldn't be offended. We shouldn't be offended when somebody, we try to share the gospel. You're not going to force it on someone. But you share a gospel and they totally walk away from it. Really, they're walking away from God, because the Bible is the word of God. In verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. See, we're chosen of God out of this world. And as we're bringing the gospel, God tells us here, the world is going to hate us. Families are going to be divided. The Bible is a sword and it cuts. So don't start feeling sorry for yourself if this happens to you, if you're treated as an outcast, or whatever the case might be. It's expected. And verse 20, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." And we're not. "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If ye have kept my sayings, they also will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." See, God is preparing us to tell us, as we go in the world with the gospel, these things are going to happen to us. So when it does happen, we shouldn't be shocked or surprised that it is happening. In verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Plain as day, as you bring the faithful to God's word and bring in the true gospel, particularly in our day, talk about the end of the world is at hand, is in sight. Oh boy, the laughs goes up. I remember sharing the gospel with a co-worker of mine, and I tell you, she laughed so hard at me. She's trying to build consensus on her part. So what she did was, she saw a doctor passing by, and I'm sitting in the lunchroom, and she called the doctor over. Come here, doc. Robert said the world is going to end in 2011. And she just started laughing. And another nurse went by, and she called the nurse over. And she's just getting the consensus on her side, you know. And she laughed so hard at me. I tell you, just, what could I say? And everybody that goes by, you know, she'd call them in there and tell them, you know, Robert said the world's going to end in 2011. And she was just laughing. I tell you, I think I probably made her day. She just didn't buy it. She didn't want to hear it. Everybody she sees, she was pouring out. A whole bunch of people was in the lunchroom. And I'm sitting there all by myself, and everybody's looking at me like somebody bumped me in the head, you know. And they were looking at me like, Robert, you all right? I said, yeah. Well, you know, it's in the Bible. And they just looked at me like, what happened to you? But all this is going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, and you don't back down. You know, you say, yeah, you stand there. And some people are ashamed to say it to people. Or they just, I don't know. But we have to tell the world of the coming day. Look at Ezekiel. Remember that familiar passage in Ezekiel 33? See, we're not to be, ought to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And remember, it's going to happen to us as we speak about these things. And let's read a few of these verses. It's a very familiar passage in the Bible. We're very familiar with it. Ezekiel 33. And we start reading in verse 1. Here we read. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them. We're saying unto our neighbor, to the world, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. Remember, we're watchmen. If you're a child of God, you're truly born again, we are watchmen. And what a watchman does, you see the enemy approaching. You got to warn the people. You know, that's what our job is. You know, we've got to warn the people that judgment day is almost here. Now, you can't make them listen. You can't stick the gospel down anybody's throat. Well, we're going to warn them. You see, if when he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. That's what we ought to do as we bring the gospel. Warn the world. Judgment day is almost here. And you tell them a way of escape. Because we have to give a balanced view of the gospel, you know. You have to give a balanced view. We have to tell people about your sin and God's mercy and God's grace and so forth. And you warn them of the wrath to come and the terrible danger that they're in. That if they die in their sin, it's over. The Lord comes on that day. Salvation is no longer possible. You see, here in verse 5, he says, he heard the sound of the trumpet. That person, he heard it. He heard the warning. That judgment day is almost here. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. See, he heard it. That judgment day is here. That 2011 is almost here. But he just totally dismissed it. You know, he didn't listen to the warning. God says, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. We hear the warning. You become frightened in our soul. Who do we go to? To Christ. And plead for mercy as the Ninevites did. It might be that God will turn and leave a blessing behind of salvation to this person, you see. But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, we're supposed to be watchmen. And we're not blowing the warning of judgment. We're not doing it. It says, and blow the trumpet, and the people be not warned. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taking away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And verse 7 says, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. You see, the Bible came from the very mouth of Christ, didn't it? And we have to warn the world that the end is here. And as we obey the command in Matthew 28, we have to be faithful. Remember, God tells us in Jeremiah 23, faithful, that a person be faithful as they're bringing the gospel of Christ. Now, let me stop here and... Anyone has any questions or comments or corrections? Yes. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we shouldn't be. If we see that we draw back, we're ashamed to speak about the gospel to people, then you have to honestly examine yourselves. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. And, you know, it's expected that mankind is going to mock and laugh and thinking that you're crazy or whatever the case is, but it's par for the course. Okay. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for thy word. And, oh Lord, we can't thank thee enough for thy word, because thy word is truth. Thy word is absolute truth. And, oh Lord, we pray as we study thy word and as we share thy word with the world, oh Lord, we pray that we have that confidence that you will bless it and save thine elect. And, oh Lord, we thank you for thy grace. And I'm so grateful that today is still the day of salvation. That it's still possible, Lord, that if someone has doubts about their salvation, are they comfortable that they are not saved, they could still come to thee and beseech thee for thy mercy. And oh, Lord, how wonderful it is that we could never wear out our welcome. We could come to you again and again and again and again with our concern, with what's troubling us, or whatever the case might be. And we know that you will always hear us. Dear Lord, we pray for the next Bible study, and we pray for all the activities of this day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a 15-